You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg from Nashville, Tennessee. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 19th, episode 3888. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, that's right. We are back with the Equine Affair episode, the third Thursday of every month. I apologize for my voice ahead of time. I'm still battling this flu slash cold slash whatever the heck it is that everybody in the country has gotten. So, but I can talk, so I'm here.
You're here. And for once, you're sick and not me. Yeah. Seems like I'm always sick. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to revel in my good health for the moment that I have it.
It was my turn. It was my turn. Well, you know what I'm excited about? It's only a couple months away. And this year, though, it's not going to be me, but it's going to be somebody better than me going to represent Horse Radio Network.
Yeah, it's going to be a girls' trip. Ashley Winch is going to be at Equine Affair, and I'm very excited to get to do shows with her. But of course, we will miss you.
She's going to be fantastic. Ashley's terrific, you know. And she'll put, you know, one of the things too is she'll probably book different guests than I usually book. So I think it'll be a nice change up this year.
Yeah, and she'll be a fashion plate every day because she dresses to impress.
She looks a hell of a lot better than me, that's for sure.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, pretty much. She's much prettier than you.
Yes, she definitely that is not even a question. She certainly dresses better than I do. But I'll still be involved. I'll be editing the shows. We're going to put out three special episodes like we always do, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
So there's bonus episodes on that weekend of Horses in the Morning, like we do every year.
Yeah. And it's become a tradition, and I really look forward to it. It's one of the things I love about Ohio is we get to do that versus Mass, where we can't lure you up there because it's too cold.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for you guys. Now, the other thing that's always fun and is a highlight for everybody, and this is one of the few things that you can partake in, even if you don't go to Equine Affair.
Yes. So this is, as everyone knows by now, after so many years of doing the podcast, this is one of my babies is the raffle. And so right now, the official Equine Affair raffle is open. You can enter. You don't have to come to the event, but of course, I would love to see you there. But yes, you can enter the raffle online. It's free. And I have so many great prizes lined up. I'm really excited about these prizes.
So they do what again?
So they go to our website, and we can put that link in the show notes. And I also, this morning, actually, just posted it in the auditor group. So if you're an auditor, you already know where to go. But if you're not an auditor, you should be. But if you're not, we'll put the link in the show notes, or you can just go to Equine Affairs page and find the Ohio raffle page. And there you'll see all the prizes that you could enter for a chance to win. We have prizes from Back on Track, US Equestrian. We have a really cool equine website expert who's donating a package. So if you're an equine business person and you need help with your business, you could win something from her. You could win a voucher for a two-night stay from this new company that I'm actually really excited about called RideJoy.com. They're sort of like the equestrian Airbnb.
Yep. We had them on the show, I think.
Oh, a while back. Good.
Yeah, yep.
Yes. They're cool. But yeah, they're putting up a voucher for a 1 to 2 night stay in an equine host facility. So like basically, that's a really great prize. I am really excited for whoever wins that because, I mean, hello. And then, of course, the gorgeous leather framed mirrors from October Design Equestrian Decor. Those are amazing. Someday I'm going to buy myself one when I can save up to afford it. They are really, really great. So if you win that, I'm always jealous. And then, of course, tickets to the 2027 event and then prizes from the Healing Cowgirl. So, I mean, seriously, guys,
and these are some great prizes. You don't have to go, right? You can do it right now.
You don't have to go.
in your recliner, you can enter this.
Yes. Okay. On your phone, you just fill out some questions about Equine Affair. Give your opinion. We're asking you your opinion. I mean, you horse people, you love opinions. You have them.
They're never short on
opinions. Share them. And I will read your opinions. And I hope they're positive. And I say that. I hope they're positive opinions. Because remember, I have to read your answers. And then you'll be entered randomly. And we'll I don't know. I haven't calculated how many chances to win you have this time, but it's a lot. So you definitely want to enter, and you can enter until April 12th.
Very good. And then there's a second thing that they can participate in, another contest.
Yes. So the other contest is to win a special weekend getaway. So you could have your whole weekend at Equine Affair, your tickets to Fantasia, and a hotel room for four nights. That's all at stake in the My Equine Affair Moment Contest. And our listeners will remember we ran this last year ahead of Massachusetts, and it was really fun. We interviewed the winner on the show, and that'll happen again. So you got to enter that one, and you have until February 28th to enter this one. So you've only got a few days left. But basically, you go to our website, and we'll put this link in the show notes too, and you tell us a story of how Equine Affair has impacted your life. So think about all the things you can do at Equine Affair. You can adopt a horse. You can buy a horse. You can meet a best friend. You can meet Glenn. Maybe meeting Glenn was the moment that changed your life.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of those entries.
It's very romantic. Yes.
I'm sure.
So you come up with your story, whether it's meeting Glenn or meeting, you know, some other horse hero. And then you tell the story, words, photos, videos, you pop it in there, you submit it, and then our staff will read all the entries and we'll pick the winner. So keep that in mind.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
Yes. And you got till the end of February. So hurry up, get it done.
What's coming up on today's show?
Well, first on the show, we have Amber Janest McCune. She performed for us last fall in Fantasia with her wonderful border collie, Typo. And I did ask if Typo could come on the show, too, but she said he's pretty quiet when he's not, you know, weaving poles.
Best name for a dog ever, by the way.
Typo. It's the best. Well, and she has another dog called Prove It, which I think is a great. Yeah, like all her dogs' names actually are incredible. They're all listed on her website. So guys, go check those out. Those are fun. But Typo. So we're not talking to Typo. We're talking to Amber. And if you went to Equine Affair in Massachusetts, you saw them perform for us in Fantasia. They went head to head with Brittany Mayer and her horse Copy That, which how about that? Copy That and Typo were our two animal performers. And it was an anything you can do, I can do better versatility dog agility showdown. So it was really fun. It was. And I'll post some video on the web, on the Facebook pretty soon so that like if you listen to the show today, you can also see what I'm talking about. And so Amber turns out is a horse girl who turned into a champion dog trainer. And when I say champion, I mean champion. She's won it all. So that's going to be a good one. And then our next interview is Amanda Panino and Hermes Zamperla. And Hermes is an 8th generation circus performer. So like he has done it all and he's seen his family do it all. And they are the power couple behind E-Imaginations LLC. And they've performed in Fantasia before. But this spring, they're bringing us an excited medieval-inspired sword fight and jousting act. So very Ren Faire.
No, wait a minute. Very... The one I'm not going to, you have this.
Yes.
And you did fact, this just to spite me. I know you
I know.
Did.
I did. Well, I can show you video that one, too. So you
I can't believe you did this on the time I'm not there.
Well, and you missed the interview because like Glenn had a scheduling snafu, so we couldn't. So I had to do the interview and he missed it. And I was like, he is going to be so mad at me because they're really cool. And
for those that don't know, I actually started my performing career at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. We in the very beginning days of the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair.
Yes, you did.
Yep. So I, yes, this is close. I met my wife there. I owned an acting company. We did medieval feasts for 10 years. This is dear to my heart.
I know. And so you got to listen to the interview.
See, I wasn't good enough to play a knight, so that's why I had to play the king.
Well.
Because kings can be a little less good looking than knights. So that's
Well, and you'll notice in their promo photo, they're covered in fake blood. If you look really closely, they're like spattered in fake blood. So they're a pretty cool couple. So yeah, you'll just have to listen to the conversation and get your Renfair fix from there, Glenn.
That sounds like fun. I think, you know, you definitely want to get your Fantasia tickets. They do sell out for this show. So are they for sale now?
They are. They are for sale now on the website. Go get them. They have been on sale since December. So like hurry up because the good seats are going.
And you know how you can go to Equine Affair for free? You can sign up as a volunteer. The volunteers earn a free admission for a day by working 1 2-hour shift. You work 8 hours or more, and you can earn a free 4-day pass. The jobs are fun and easy, and you'll get a sneak peek behind the scenes of your favorite horse expo. Sign up at the website by February 23rd to pre-register or visit the volunteer office at the event to get plugged in. And you know, these events that are this big, huge like this, don't run without the volunteers. So there's no way they could put it on if they didn't have the volunteers. So definitely Absolutely. Consider that if you live in the area and you can get over there and do it, or you want to come in and stay in a hotel but not pay for the tickets and you want to help out, that's one way to do it.
And it's the best way to do it. And we really appreciate our volunteers. And we feed you some. So, I mean, snacks, drinks, why not?
Well, we have had many guests on the Equine Affair podcast over the years with lists of incredible achievements in hand, but this next guest is our first national and international winner in the wonderful sport of dog agility. So if you attended Equine Affair in Massachusetts, you saw her and her adorable border collie Typo go head-to-head with our own Brittany Mayer and copy that in a fun agility showdown. So today we are honored to have Amber on the show. Hi, Amber.
Hello, how are you?
So good. So happy to have you on the show. This is exciting for me.
It's exciting for me, too. I think it's awesome that we can combine the two worlds of horses and dog agility.
Well, yeah. And I'm really excited to talk to you. I have a couple things I got to start with. First, you are off of a really exciting win at Westminster. Tell us about what you just did. Like, you just got back from an incredible achievement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, about, you know, 2 weeks ago, I attended Westminster, and this is my 10th time attending. And I attended with Typo's nephew. His name is Prove It. And he actually won the entire show in the agility. So Prove It, Typo's nephew, is the 2026 Westminster Masters Agility Grand Champion, which means he had the fastest time out of all 300 dogs. I have won on 8 other occasions my height, but never the grand champion. Typo won in 2024. But unfortunately, this year he didn't get in because it's a lottery system to get entered. So Typo didn't even get to come, which was a little sad, but Prove It won the whole thing. So I'm super, super proud of him and just so very grateful to have him as my teammate.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. That is just mind-bogglingly cool.
Thank you.
And I reposted the video because Kogi actually was super excited. She emailed me on the weekend and said, Amber just won, so you got to post this. So I posted the video of the winning run with Prove It, and it was so cool to watch. Like, you guys are awesome.
He's a pretty talented little guy, and I'm just so, so grateful to have him. I'm actually his breeder, and he was a singleton puppy.
Wow.
And when he was born, his mother didn't have any milk because of just some hormonal things that were going on. So I bottle fed him from the day he came home, and he is literally my baby. Every 2 hours, I fed that little devil, and you know, I couldn't live without him. So
is that sounds really unusual for it to be a single puppy.
Yeah. Yeah. His mother, who I currently still own, her name is Metric. She had some weird issues going on in the pregnancy, and she actually absorbed all the other puppies in the litter. So we had to do a lot of different hormones, just like a person would if your body is trying to reject that pregnancy. She had to be on lots of hormones and basically bed rest. And, you know, it was quite the adventure to get a puppy out of that fiasco. But Metric, the mom, is healthy, and Prove It is obviously quite healthy. So, you know, he's the miracle baby.
Well, and Prove It, that's an apt name for a puppy like that. Man,
I'm so happy he's living up to his name.
Definitely. That's so cool. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, it makes total sense that would happen with dogs, just like with people. I went through fertility treatment myself, so I am empathetic with Metric over that. Yeah. Well, so you're obviously an awesome, amazing dog breeder, trainer, champion, competitor. But then when I was digging into your background to get ready for this, I realized you're a horse girl. You train show jumpers.
Yeah, I'm a horse girl through and through. You know, I started riding when I was 2. My mother brought me for my first riding lesson. And she says to this day that I wouldn't get off the horse. I had a complete tantrum and just kept screaming bloody murder the whole way home, which was about a half hour, because I wanted to go back. And, you know, horses have always been my love and my soul, I think, more of anything. You know, I get in the saddle and just my entire body just goes, ah. You know, a real horse person understands that feeling. You just feel at home in the saddle. And I did. I, you know, started as a kid. I did Western. I did barrel racing and pole bending with my little quarter horse. And, you know, he actually lived till 36. I got him when I was 12. So he just died, you know, probably about 8 or 9 years ago.
Wow.
But he went to Colorado State with me. I brought him to college. Like, he just, that wonderful little quarter horse. I did pole bending and barrels. And then I decided he was going to be a Western pleasure horse. And then I decided he was going to be a jumper. That little devil did everything with me. It was great. But in my 20s, I really got into the warm bloods. I had a Hanoverian and an Oldenburg and a Dutch. And jumping has just always been my thing. There's no other feeling just coming off of a course of just going, doing an awesome clean round at 4 foot. And it's just that amazing feeling. But unfortunately, I'm an adult and I had to make a choice. And, you know, the dog business, we really didn't realize it would take off like it did. And I think I was put on this earth to teach people how to enrich their dogs' lives. And unfortunately, my horses just were taking a back seat. So I did sell all of my horses, except for the quarter horse. I mean, I had him for 30 something years and he eventually did die. He was my lawn ornament, but I did sell all of my jumpers because it was very unfair to them. They were just standing around. So, you know, I started by leasing them and then, you know, kids really fell in love with them. So we just sold them.
Oh, so they went to happy homes though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They were rock stars. Yeah. One of them is a half hour away from here and I still go visit him and bring him his favorite snacks every now and then just cause he was such an amazing horse. I think he's probably like 14 now and I bought him as a yearling. So he's living his best life. Let me tell you.
It sounds like it. I mean, that's such a cool story. Cause you also, I saw you were going to go to vet school and then you had a change of heart and now you do this dog thing. So like you're a very multi-talented human being, it sounds like.
Well, like I said, the horses and, you know, that was really what my heart was in. I really wanted and I had planned on. I went to Colorado State pre-vet and then I ended up coming back to New Hampshire and finished my undergraduate degree at the University of New Hampshire, but still pre-vet. Like that was my plan. I was going to Tufts. I really wanted to be an equine vet. I worked at Grant Myrie's clinic, you know, whenever I was available up in Rochester. I volunteered there because I really, really liked it. I worked for Gretchen Anderson's husband, Mark Anderson, as a tech, you know, as much as I could, because really like horse and veterinary medicine was really my love. And I really kind of have a thing for cows too. So I just wanted to be, you know, driving around, getting dirty with cows and horses. But my mother started this wonderful business called American Canine Country. And she had this dream that she could help people enrich their lives with their dogs. Dogs are more than just something that's just going to lay around the house and wait for you to come home all day. They actually can be an integral part of your life and make your life better and in turn make their lives better. So I helped her start her business because she's a brilliant dog trainer, but not super organized. Versus I'm the really organized type A personality. So I figured I'd help her with the organization of it and then go to vet school a year late. And that was 23 years ago this March. So we have made quite the amazing business here. And we do help so many clients, you know, realize that you can have a really awesome language with your dog. And people get addicted to the sport of either dog agility or dock diving or competitive obedience or rally, or there's just so many things you can do with your dog. And coming from the horse world, you know, horses will do it for you. They'll jump around a course. They'll, you know, go around the barrels for you, but it's not like they crave it sitting out in the pasture all day, you know, versus the dogs. are sitting here just trembling, excited for their turn. And if we let them loose in the building or anywhere near an agility course or a dock diving pool, they're going to run to that area and just stand there and look at you and beg you for their turn. You know, I think there's a little bit more teamwork with, you know, obviously a prey animal versus a flight animal. So I just get so much joy out of having these four-legged cool creatures as my teammates.
Well, and you can really see that in the Fantasia performance that you did for us back in the fall in Massachusetts. I got to film two nights of it, and I was just in awe of how connected Typo was to you, how he was obviously just dying for the chance to go. Like, he was like, let's go, let's do this. And it felt like he could have done it all night long. He was just like, whatever, this is, we're here. I don't care that there's a bunch of people around. I don't care that there's a horse and a girl over there doing stuff. Just, let's just do this. And that was so fun to watch.
He absolutely loved it. I think he was some crazy celebrity in his previous life, because that's yeah. He wants to say hello to the crowd and then do his major performance. And then he would like to go greet them all after, you know, he's a really cool little dog. And him and I have traveled to Paris and to the Netherlands and to Switzerland representing Team USA. And he just loves doing anything with me as long as we do it together as a team. But I think he really liked Fantasia because the ring was so huge, because obviously it's a horse ring. And he got to just explode with speed and run across and just be the center of attention. He absolutely, absolutely loved it.
Well, and there was a lot of glitter involved, right? I think I saw a behind the scenes photo or video of him like shaking off just loads of purple glitter.
Yes. I was trying to come up with, you know, how to make him Fantasia purple sparkly. I had this whole little doggy vest that I had put on him, and we found and it's rhinestone purple. It's so cool. Like, it's going to look amazing under the lights, because I had been to Fantasia, you know, when I was younger, and I just remember this dressage horse with this sparkly boots on, right, with the spotlight. So I'm like, I'm going to do that with him. He's going to wear this little vest that's all purple sparkles. And he had it on for the practice, but I didn't realize he couldn't weave with it on.
Buckle
kept hitting the poles, and he actually broke the weave poles with the buckle, because he just, you know, weaves with so much speed and force. So I drove around the next day trying to come up with where I could find glitter. And I did find a whole bottle of purple craft glitter at a craft store. So I put hairspray on him, which I figured was like sticky, and covered him in glitter. And he looked pretty fancy.
Yes, very fancy. And I imagine, I think I was too far to tell, but I'm sure there was like, he was leaving a trail of glitter as he weaved, like a little shooting star.
Oh, it was everywhere. And we went back to the hotel. It was all over the white sheets. I mean, I don't know what the housekeepers must have thought the next day. I don't know what type of party they thought we had, but there was glitter everywhere.
That is fantastic. I'm sure they've got to be used to it. That's something that I always laugh about after our show in Massachusetts, is like, because usually all our Fantasia performers have some kind of purple glitter on in some way, shape, or fashion. And I'm like, I'm sure that facility is just coated with glitter after we leave. And, you know, it's a party. That's all we can say.
It is. It's an awesome purple horse party, you know, and like I said, I had attended Fantasia years and years ago, and it was the coolest experience. So when Kogi asked me to attend, I thought it was so cool that I got to be there now with, you know, my favorite teammate, which just happened to be Typo and a dog. And it was really a cool idea that Brittany and I figured out how to make it an exciting idea for the crowd. You know, anything you can do on a horse, I definitely can do better on my dog, you know.
It was really fun. It was so fun to watch. And I think part of what made that was how joyful you guys were, and then how joyful Brittany was with Copper. Like, you could tell you guys were just really enjoying this fun competition. And I think that's what made it just over the top.
Yeah. And the fact that Copper was willing to pretty much do anything, which was a really, really good piece. Brittany's done a really, really amazing job training her, because I said, you know, my dog can do obviously all these things, and it's easy. It's a dog. But, you know, can you get her to spin on a pedestal? Can you get her to go around a barrel and jump jumps? I think the cool part was that she had a horse that was so versatile that could do all the things that the dog can do. So it was pretty, pretty fun to do, let me tell you.
Well, and I love the symmetry between the names that we had typo and copy that. I just think that's hilarious as a nerd, grammar nerd.
It was completely accidental too. Yep. And it's funny because copy that is a chestnut with a lot of white chrome. And then typo is a brown border collie with a lot of white. So, you know, and all my other border collies are black and white. So it's very cool that we almost had like our little mirrors. Their names were kind of cool and the same. It was just, it was really, really amazing. And it worked out absolutely perfectly for us on our side.
All right. Well, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to highlight your facility and say, how can people learn more about American Canine Country? What's the URL for it?
Well, our website is AmericanCanineCountry.com, and it's the letter K, the number 9.
Perfect. And it's an amazing, like I've been looking through the website before we talked, and you guys really do have a pool and fitness and agility and rally and competitive. I mean, it just looks like heaven for dog people. Honestly,
it is. It's like doggy Disneyland. We have an indoor heated pool. So in the winter, because it's cold here in New Hampshire, we can still swim our dogs. The water's 85 and the room's 85 because my dogs love to swim and they obviously need to stay fit. We have an underwater treadmill. And we have an outdoor dock diving pool that's 50 feet long and we daycare and boarding. It's just absolutely insane. So it's my dog's heaven is really what it is. This was all built for them.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I wish we could have had Typo on too, but you know, we'll take you.
He's here. He's just not very loud.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Amber.
You're welcome.
Tickets to Equine Affairs musical Celebration of the Horse are on sale now. Buy yours at equineaffair.com and secure your seat for the must-see equestrian show of the season. Fantasia returns for just 3 performances on April 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio. You'll see jousting, sword fighting, reining, drill teams, thrilling theatrics. Oh my gosh, thrilling theatrics. There you go. And so much more. What is not to love? Fantasia is proudly sponsored by Western Edge.
And I will say the announcer is better than both of us. So there's that.
He definitely is.
Well, you've seen them perform for you several times in Fantasia over the last few years. This is our first time getting to interview this incredible pair of performers on our podcast. So help me welcome Hermes Zamperla and Amanda Panino to our show. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Allison.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you both on the show. I have admired you for many years from afar, so it's kind of a fangirl moment for me. So as I was thinking about what to ask you, I was thinking you guys have the most exciting answer ever to that kind of boring question of what do you do for a living? So I thought we could kind of start off with how do you both describe what you do for a living and how did you get into horseback performances and all the different things that you both do?
Yeah, it's definitely a funny answer, especially like when you're around, you know, a bunch of people that went to college or that are established in different ways. And everybody's kind of going around the table, you know, at a party or a wedding or something. And, oh, what do you do for a living? And then you get to you and you're like, well, I mean, I'm a trainer. I'm an artist. You know, I'm a creator. It's kind of a tough question to answer. It's kind of just depending on whatever the gig is on the day. But I grew up 7 generations, circus family, always performing with horses. And did some other like side acts and some other, you know, acrobatic stuff. So I have that background as well, but definitely dominantly with horses. And started at 6 years old and I'm 34 now and just done a variety of different training between jousting, traditional circus style of bareback riding, where you're standing on horses, it's similar to vaulting, trick riding, Roman riding, some liberty. So just a very wide variety. I was exposed to a lot and worked with a lot of great trainers growing up.
And Amanda, how did you get involved with Hermes and with this whole thing? Have you also grown up doing this?
No. So we're actually from the same city. So we're from Sarasota, Florida. And for those that don't know, Sarasota has a rich history in the circus arts. And so it was not uncommon for people to say, oh, yeah, like, I'm friends with this circus performer, this circus family. So my mom was a lover of the circus arts. So we grew up around circus people, circus communities. And my first horseback rider trainer was Ellian Rozier. And so that was the commonality for me and Aramis. So that's where we met. I was kind of finishing horses while he was breaking them. And that's how we met. And I have a strong background in English and equitation, jumping. I did it in college. And then when I had my first big real girl job, horses actually became kind of stranger to me because the 9 to 5, it was kind of hard. And then I moved back home during COVID, and that's when I met Aramis. And, you know, I was like, oh, I can do all this, you know, this will be fun. He's going to show me some things and I'm going to rock at it. Well, let me tell you, it's hard, and I appreciate it so much, and everything he's shown me in the world of this artistic ability to connect with horses and to do all that and use, you know, they're your partners in this line of work. So it took a while. Aramis can attest to it. I struggled with how to learn to be on the road and chasing gigs and what it looks like, because, you know, the horses come first in our line of industry. And and now I'm here, and I always tell people I love my life. I choose my problems over anyone else's. And I would not look back. So that's kind of where, that's the short bit of how I ended up where I am. Because of Aramis.
I mean, we could do the extended version of the podcast, and it might get a little romantic there somewhere in the middle of COVID.
Yeah. Right? COVID. It's that thing that took away so many things, but also gave us so many incredible things.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I was actually working in Georgia with Tommy Turvey on Walking Dead. That's a very established horseman and stuntman. And she was in North Carolina at her job. And both of us kind of retreated home to Ellian Rosaires. And just to give you an idea who Ellian is, she's a very old circus family. There are a bunch of siblings that all the different siblings do work with different animals. The brother works with bears. Ellian works with horses. The other sister, Kay Rosaire, works with big cats. So that's kind of how their family worked. Every sibling did something different. And Ellian has been a trainer and a horse presenter for a very long time. And when she quit going on the road, she created her own kind of school at home, riding school. So that's what Amanda was referring to when we were working together. Yeah. I was getting horses where they were safe enough to ride, and then Amanda and Ellian were finishing them.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing. And what a cool, what a cool way to meet. You've got the meet cute, the ultimate meet cute.
Yeah, organically. It wasn't on an app, so it was kind of nice.
Yeah, right? Old school. Well, yeah, so the big thing about your act is, of course, there are you guys, your many talents combined, the creativity, the costuming, but then, of course, the horses are a huge ingredient in what you do. Can we talk a little bit about what that's like and that relationship of how do you get your horses ready to do things like, you know, running full tilt to each other while your riders are carrying lances and having Hermes go all around the world on top of them, you know, going under the belly and those. And then Amanda, you vault and do kinds of crazy acrobatics on their backs. Like, how does all that work? How do you guys keep that going every day and keep that trust with your horses?
I mean, I would say everything starts with groundwork, and it's, you know, I argue with some of my horse friends, we have debates about it, you know, about how important that stuff is. To me, it's the most important thing. Free lunging, which is without a round pin. When a horse has a round pin, it learns to kind of run wild, or it has the wall as a guideline. When you're free lunging, when you have a lunge rope and you're lunging a horse like in a regular paddock or in an arena, they learn to balance themselves more, and they learn to learn their leads, I feel like, more consistently. And then that walk, trot, and canter all on a voice command. Voice commands are the most important thing out of all the training that I do, because a lot of the stuff that I do when I'm crawling under the belly, if I get caught up, I need to be able to tell that horse to whoa. Or when I'm jousting, I'm in a helmet, my vision is a little bit, you know, not so great because the eye slits in the helmet. And I have stuff in both hands, so that I almost forget about legs and some hand cues. It really goes down to voice commands at those moments. And so that's usually where I start all my horses. And I try to keep, you know, I kind of separate what I allow them to do with the weight of their bodies. If they're big horses, then they could do the vaulting stuff and the stuff that we're standing on them. And if they're the smaller horses or medium horses, they could do jousting and trick riding. So I kind of put them in different categories like that. And then with what they actually do, they kind of tell me, not to sound like cliche, but when you're doing all that wild stuff, I don't want to force a horse to do anything. I don't want him to, at a moment where I'm in danger or that I'm in need or a partner of mine's in need, that that horse is going to reject, flip over backwards, refuse. You know, that's not really, you know, an option. So we really try to focus on what the horses are actually naturally talented at and what they want to do.
Absolutely. It's so important that their whole heart is into what you're doing. I mean, we always want our horses to enjoy what they're doing, to be into it. Like, that's when the ultimate marriage of like, yes, I love doing this. My horse loves doing this. Let's do it together. In your case, especially, they need to be all in, right? They need to be bought into this because
And actually, just as recent as Equine Affair, we've had a horse that I haven't been able to really finish due to kind of different variety of work. He's good at Renaissance fairs because there's not the intensity of like the lights and the music of being like in a circus tent or in a, you know, large arena like Equine Affair. And we were going to work him there, and he kind of blew it in the rehearsal. You know, he showed that he was too nervous. He didn't ace the rehearsal, so we subbed in another horse.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not worth it to the horse or to us to, if he ain't ready or he's not mentally there at that moment in the rehearsal, that he's not going to obviously, you know, produce better for the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Amanda, you mentioned that you have that background in equitation and sort of, for lack of a better word, normal horseback riding before you got into this. How did things change for you going from normal equitation, normal riding to this kind of riding? Like, can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people it is a humbling experience. I like when my brain gets to work, and I like when my body gets to work with my brain too. And the way that the acrobatic horseback riding pushed me to my limits and still pushes me to my limits. I am nowhere near the level that Aramis is at, or that his family's at, or that even the level I want to reach. Like, I'm still learning. Even, you know, the training techniques that he was talking about, this world, I'm still learning. The training techniques, the riding, I'm still in awe when I watch Aramis bareback ride or joust or trick riding. It's so beautiful to me. I always say it's like poetry in motion. And that's also how I feel about equitation too, because you're working with the horse. You you look pretty up there. You're in sync together. And I would say it's completely different, but also it is so doable. And I like to tell people, if you have the opportunity to do something new with a horse, do it, because I have so much more love and appreciation for horses, for the connection you have with them, because I thought that was my peak in riding, and riding in college and doing equitation and jumping. But no, it's like I've gone a whole new level to look forward to, and I have just been on a roll with it. So I tell people there's similarities and there aren't similarities, but the bottom line is, like I said before, it's the horse, and you're learning how to be a partner with the horse, just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That was beautifully said, because it is, it's all partnership. In your case, your partnerships look a little bit different than some of us.
For sure.
Which is what makes it fun to watch.
But, you know, and the horse
going,
says,
going to like the Yosemite Sam thing, I said, whoa means whoa. You know? That's universal. That, like I said, you know, that voice command, and people underestimate that. I see other people, you know, training, or I try to suggest things, especially not like normal riding, you know, disciplines, but other trick riders and stuff. Don't be afraid to use that voice. You don't know when it's going to save you. And it's definitely saved me, you know, more than once that my horse, you know, recognized my voice, knew my voice, and whoa'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's also something, you know, in equitation or just in the show ring,
you know, if you go to WEC or the Florida circuit, you know, you don't really hear too many people talking to their horse in the ring. It's all concentration. Like you're counting your strides in your head. You're wondering, you know, if you're feeling the right lead or the correct diagonal. And I would say being vocal with my horse is so awesome. It was something, a new learned trait to have in the ring, and it's super rewarding. So Aramis taught me that, and I can attest to it.
Well, and it's fun. I remember with my own horses, I was trying to mess around with groundwork and just doing different things and pushing our relationship and trying out stuff. And my riding teacher when I was a teenager said, why don't you try voice commands? And I was like, okay, that would be awesome. And it is really fun. It's really fun to be able to communicate with them and say, whoa, and they stopped from 20 feet away. And I will add that I've had the privilege of filming Fantasia a few times and filming your performances several times. And I do hear, your voice commands because I'm concentrating harder than maybe the audience is. And so I'm listening through the music and I hear those voice commands from down there. And I think that that's so cool because you can tell the horses are listening.
Yeah. And they feed off of your energy too. Like when we do Cossack and trick riding, like you hear us going crazy, like they're feeding off of that. I tell people like, you know, it's not just the clapping that they feed off of. They feed off of us and they're feeling that. And Aramis can talk about him and his heart horse Murdoch. Like Murdoch is a gangster and he hears Aramis. He feels Aramis. He knows how to read him. And it goes the other way too.
Yeah, that horse is incredible. I'll never, never, ever get a horse with his character and his ability to learn and willingness. He's very standoffish. I would always say that he's kind of like an emo kid. He's kind of like, he doesn't like hugs. You know, he did like, you gotta hug him or give him a treat and he's kind of like awkward. But he just loves to work and just loves to please. Mm-hmm. He's just such a unique character.
Well, and is he a Gruya quarter horse mix?
Yeah, that's the one that I do under the belly on, and he's the main one that I joust on. And this last equine affair, I gave him to a friend of mine, Caleb Jordan, to ride for the show, and it kind of hurt my heart.
I had
to ride the big Spanish Norman because he's just a beast. He's, you know, a bit heavier in the mouth, and you know he's a large horse with the Percheron and Andalusian mix. And
so, he was actually supposed to ride Augie, my Mustang, but he's the one that got subbed out, and that was a big deal. And then Aramis read Augie and was like, he's not ready. And I was so sad, poor little Augie. But then Seto really came in like a rock star.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about Augie before we got on the podcast. I was doing some of my, you know, research, and I read about Augie and that he was a horse that Hermes was working with, and then he gave him to you. Is that right?
My first horse ever. Gave me my first horse. It was a big deal.
I got him in Las Vegas. I was working at Tournament of Kings out there, which was the jousting show on the strip at the Excalibur Casino. Mm-hmm. And a lady was having me train him, and I just started him. I was doing lunge work and ground work and stuff with him. And then she had some stuff happen in her family, and she couldn't afford to have him anymore. So she pretty much said, either take him or I'm sending him away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't have that on me, you know, that I didn't have enough time with this horse. And so I kept him and I went on different tours. I went on tour with my brother and did stuff. And he kind of got put on the back burner because, you know, the more trained horses, the solid horses, you know, get to go on tour. You don't want you can do training on tour, but you don't want to start horses, you know, on tour.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
And so, long story short, a couple years later, me and Amanda were together and she had some issues and in her family, some personal issues. And I felt like she really needed something to focus on and something to change her mind. So I gave her Augie.
And the rest is history. You give him a horse, you got him for her, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, Augie he's a special horse. I got to debut him with trick riding, and that was a big trust factor for us. And Aramis really helped that because I've had some really bad falls on him. And if you know Mustangs, they sometimes have an edge to them, and they got to switch sometimes. And so you kind of got to be ready. And, you know, I had my struggles with him. My confidence was low at certain points, but we worked through it. And I that horse has really tested me as an equestrian, as an artist. And I'm just glad that we got through those difficult times together.
Well, and that makes it all the more special when you go through challenges with a horse, you can come out on the other side.
For sure.
So you guys have a whole team, and I'm getting to talk to the two of you, but of course you have a whole team, especially with our jousting sword fighting act that you're going to be doing for us. Do you guys want to kind of quickly tell us about who do you guys work with? What are their different roles in the show, and how does that all work? How do you guys plan that? How do you guys choreograph and make sure nobody gets hurt and everyone has fun?
I mean, I don't like to choose anybody that I've never, even if like somebody gets hurt or somebody's unavailable due to, another gig, definitely the chemistry and working with each other, and that those people that I will trust them to get on my horses with only a couple of practices and then they could hit home runs. Because I'm not one to like dummy down the project, whatever it is, whether it's Equine Affair or something else. Once I write an act and I have something in my mind, it's really, really difficult to change that. I get a little like ADD about ideas when I create them. And, you know, me and Amanda write all these acts together. Just a little fun fact about Equine Affair. Every Equine Affair that I've ever done, aside from like doing the same gig in the same year, like doing, you know, Columbus and then doing Springfield, I've never brought the same act back. Mm-hmm. I've never done the same act twice. So that's really cool. And I don't think that there's a lot of people that could say that. And it's not like just like a different style of a trick riding act, like completely different from a trick riding act to a jousting act to a bareback act mixed with trick riding. So everything that I kind of do is always very, very different. The costumes, the music. So yeah, anyways, that was a little side note on that. But as far as the people and the horses, yeah, I just try to make sure that there's chemistry with the horses and who I assign. You know, those people, I should almost say, who I assign the horses to people. it almost works out better that way. And yeah, all of them I've worked with on previous gigs. Caleb Jordan, I've actually done the most amount of gigs with, aside from Amanda, that me and Caleb worked together for two or three different companies, for my brother's company, for Bill Birch's company, and then also my company. And the first time that I ever did Equine Affair by myself, Caleb Jordan was there and he was just helping me out backstage, just, you know, handling horses and doing like a on stage, like tack change and stuff. And then the following year he was in the act with me. So that was really cool. That was fun. And then there's Lolo Whitehouse that I work with, also with Bill Birch, DeBracy Productions and Hand on Lees. And yeah, it just, they're really all friends, and it's more of almost like a paid vacation, you know, with some work in there. You know, I just try to make it enjoyable for everybody. And I think the audience knows that. And I think, you know, the management knows that there's no rifts between us, and that I almost kind of feel like a band. You know, we kind of just go in there for the weekend and we kill it. We do shows and we're out.
Yeah.
Well, and that's awesome. And it's important to have trust and familiarity, especially when you're jousting with each other or sword fighting or throwing each other around the arena. It's good that you're all friends. We can know that.
Yeah.
Another guy, Christian Ramos, that's one of my best friends, that we had like 10 years that we didn't see each other and work together. And then the first, not this Equine Affair, not the jousting act, but the one before that was the first time that we worked together. And it was like we never missed a beat, you know? So to have 10 years off and to just go right back into it, like we didn't miss a day, and we're talking, you know, smack to each other like we usually do. And he was warming horses up. And that was a really fun act, but difficult for him. He's a really, really good lunger. And he had a lunge like three or four different, you know, types of horses, you know, between bareback horses, vaulting horses, and trick riding horses.
Awesome. Well, of course, our listeners can come see you guys in Fantasia this spring in just literally less than 2 months, April 9th, 10th, and 11th. But how can they follow you guys online and see your exploits and see where you might be going next? Do you have a website or a social media page you want to drop?
Yeah, we have an Instagram page. It's under our business name. It's E as in Aramis, Imaginations, LLC. They can follow us there. We're in the process of building a website, but our Instagram is the best way to get in touch with us. And then, you know, you're more than welcome to follow our personal accounts too. And we have an email address if anyone's interested in emailing us, or if they have any additional questions or possibly want to hire us or maybe interested in working with us. It's amanda@eimaginations.com. So that's how you can connect with us.
Perfect. And we will put those both in the show notes. And so I just want to thank you both for coming on and sharing. You guys live a really cool, interesting life, and it's fun to hear your stories. So thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
So only 48 days left. This is the time when my co-host starts going crazy with work and getting ready. So real quick, for those that were there last year, is the construction in a different location or are we the same location? Where are we at construction-wise?
It's in a different location. The Celeste building, which we weren't in last year because of construction, we're back in, and the Midway is all fixed up now.
Oh, so the food's going to be back in the Midway?
Yes. Yay. The food will be back in the Midway. You can walk from the Bricker to the Celeste and back again. Woohoo!
So how about the parking this year? It was a bit of an issue last year because of the construction. Is it better this year?
It'll be much better this year. In fact, I think it shouldn't impact us much at all. And then I've also heard that next year the construction will have moved on to totally different parts of the fairgrounds. So we will be back in business fully next year with no issues. So let's hang in for one more year of a little bit of inconvenience, and then we're going to be back good as gold.
And that place, I mean, the place has been there a long time. It did need some updating in certain things. So I'm glad they're doing it. It's just, you know, it's always an inconvenience when they are, right?
Yes, it definitely needed some help. And so we're really glad that they're doing some of that work. It's just inconvenient in the meantime. But
well, if you got through last year, this year should be easier is what it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for everybody. And you can learn more about Equine Affair at the website at equineaffair.com, on the Facebook page, or the YouTube channel. Don't forget, too, that Equine Affair has their own separate RSS feed for this podcast. So if you want to listen to just past episodes of Equine Affair, search for Equine Affair on your podcast player, and you can just bring up this separately from Horses in the Morning, or, of course, you can listen at Horses in the Morning. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Jamie and I will be here with some really bad ads on Friday. We have new prizes for this month, so look for those too. If you haven't submitted your ad yet, when you find it, send it to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
I love those really bad ads.
It's our favorite day of the week.
They're the best. I actually saw one the other day. I don't know if I screenshotted it, so I'll have to look that up.
Win. You need to send in an ad.
What do I win?
We have prizes every month. We have good prizes.
What?
We have prizes. Do you know? And I bet you we probably are the highest of any podcast in the world for this. We have given away over $70,000 in stuff on this show.
I believe it. You guys are cool.
I mean, how many other podcasts? I don't know of any other podcasts that have given away $70,000 worth of stuff.
Well, I figure I'll be disqualified because I'm a host. So I shouldn't win, but you guys should submit your ads and win and make me laugh. And anyway, there are no bad ads at Equine Affair because I make them. So we will see you at Equine Affair.